Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And that is on page 1 of your New Testament, so it's very easy to find this morning. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I ask that you be with me today as I preach, and I ask especially that only your words be spoken, and only your words be heard and received in our hearts. Amen. When I was reading the scriptures for this Christmas and Advent season, what really struck me this year was how full of praise they are. It starts early. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, is so grateful when their baby, John, is born a few months before Jesus. He and his wife, Elizabeth, were elderly, and they had always wanted to have a child. An angel appeared to him when he was performing his duties as a priest in the temple and told him that he and Elizabeth would have a child and also told him what to name him. When the baby is born, Zechariah blesses God for redeeming his people. He praises God for how faithful he has been to his covenant with Abraham. Zechariah speaks prophetically, saying that God has raised up a mighty Savior through the house of David. And he is delighted to announce that his own newborn son, John, will be the one who goes before him to prepare his ways. Mary is full of praise. In a conversation she has with her cousin Elizabeth before either of them has given birth, Elizabeth tells her that she, Mary, is blessed among women, and her child will also be blessed. Mary responds, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She goes on to say that all generations will call her blessed because of what God is doing through her. Mary says that in honoring her, God has favored the lowly and the hungry over the powerful and the rich. A few days after Jesus is born, his parents bring him to the temple for naming and circumcision. They encounter a devout man named Simeon. The Holy Spirit had promised Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah with his own eyes. When Simeon holds the baby Jesus, he praises God for allowing him to see salvation. He also speaks prophetically, saying, "This child will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to the people of Israel." Now, Simeon says, he can die in peace. Each of these passages of praise was incorporated into worship early in the life of the church. They were used as songs or chants called canticles. Catholics and Anglicans use them in worship more often than we do, but they're in our hymnal. I checked last night in the alphabetical index on page 955. You can check yourself. There's the Canticle of Zechariah, the Canticle of Mary, and the Canticle of Simeon. Those of you who are musically inclined might know them better by their Latin names, the Benedictus, the Magnificat, and the Nunc Dimittis. These are not the only canticles listed there. But as I read down the list of titles in the index, I said to myself, I wonder why there isn't a canticle of Joseph. I'm sure you noticed at the end of the scripture you heard this morning, there's no song. There's no passage of praise that could be interpreted as a song. Joseph wakes up from his dream. He does what the angel told him to do. Chapter 1 of the scripture ends. Chapter 2 starts with the rising of the star of Bethlehem and the visit of the wise men. Why doesn't Joseph have a song? I wondered, but I really did not find an answer. Then I wondered, if Joseph did have a song, what would he have sung about? He might have sung thanking God for leading him away from being sad, angry, and offended. Before Joseph had gone to sleep that night, he had wrestled with the problem of what to do about Mary. She had a reputation for faithfulness and devotion to God, but she had just told him that she was pregnant. She said the child was God's. Joseph wasn't able to accept that. He was disappointed and unhappy. He struggled with the decisions he had to make about what to do next. He decided the best thing to do would be to quietly break off their impending marriage. But then he had his dream. The angel who spoke to him confirmed that what Mary had told him was correct. She had done nothing wrong. She was faithful to God, and she had been faithful to him. Joseph was able to go forward with honor to do what the angel told him to do. He might have sung about the mystery and unexpectedness of God's ways. Joseph knew he was descended from the house of David, and many prophets had predicted that the Messiah would come from this bloodline. David had quite a few wives and children, as we know. David's son Solomon is said to have had 700 wives. Now, granted, many of these marriages were for political alliances, but it did make me think perhaps lots of people were descended from the house of David. What was unexpected was that Jesus' descent would not be through blood. It would be through adoption. Joseph's heritage became his when Joseph married Mary. God does this so often. He keeps his promises, but in ways that we don't expect. At this point, Joseph might have sung to God about his thankfulness at being chosen for such a task. Joseph might have thought of himself as being faithful and devout, and he was, but he also knew he was poor and not especially gifted. But Joseph had what was needed. Joseph was a carpenter, so he was able to support his family. He was faithful and kind, so he would have been a good husband and father. And the world didn't think he was important. There was nothing about Joseph that attracted the world's attention. That helped him to raise Jesus in safety. It seems that after all, Joseph was perfect for the role that God offered him. But he still had to say yes. God did not compel his answer. However, Joseph was a faithful man, and his faithfulness to God had made him discerning. He knew when God was asking him to do something. He recognized that the angel's instructions came from God, so he didn't hesitate to follow them. The last line of his song might have reflected that faithfulness. Joseph might have sung, "I can't claim to see the end of this. I don't know what else you'll expect of me, Lord. But whatever it is, I'm willing to do as you ask." God did ask Joseph to do other things. Joseph protected Mary on their journey to Bethlehem. He found the stable where Jesus was born. He had more dreams, and he paid attention to them. In one of them, an angel told him to take Mary and the baby Jesus and flee to Egypt. He did that, and he did it right away, in the middle of the night. Herod killed many infants after speaking with the wise men. But baby Jesus was safely out of reach, out of the country. In another dream, Joseph was told by an angel that it was safe to return to Israel. He and his family came back and settled in Nazareth, and the rest is history. I decided that Joseph's song wasn't a passage of praise in Scripture. Joseph's song was his life. God asked him to step onto a specific path, and he did. He didn't know where the next step would lead, but he kept walking, and he stayed attentive to God's guidance. The last we see of Joseph in Scripture is years later. He and Mary have returned to Jerusalem to look for the 12-year-old Jesus after they discover him missing on their trip back to Nazareth. They find him in the temple. "Why were you searching for me?" he asks. "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" There's no mention of Joseph in Jesus' ministry or in the events that surround his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. This reminds us that in some sense, Joseph's song is an unfinished melody. Joseph didn't get to see the results of the actions he took to obey God's will. He did his part. Ultimately, it's God who composes the song. But it's our response to God that ascends to God as worship. Joseph's life showed obedience, courage, selflessness, and determination to protect the helpless. In such a life, there is all the praise and singing God could ask for. Pray with me, please. Lord, our obedience, our sacrifice, our love of neighbor in all of its forms is our song to you. Grant that each of us will be as attentive to you as Joseph was, that we too might be as willing to be guided and led into singing such beautiful music. Amen.